Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think I want to just kind of get going. Is that all right? I want to get going. Hallelujah. Yeah, you just stay with me for a little bit, Ryan. Come on, I want you all to open your Bibles to Isaiah 40. Because this is going to be, this is a prophetic word to our house, okay? We began this last week. Picking up on part two. Now, last week we talked about waiting on the Lord. And the Lord gives you promises that come out of waiting on Him. But there are certain passages that you'll look at and you can preach out and you can teach out of them. And then there are days when you begin to preach or speak out of it. It is a word to you. It's a rhema word. Are you all hearing me? And if you'll begin to open your spirit up, God's going to do something in you. All right? I'm believing that. I'm believing that. That this is going to start initiating dreams on the inside of you. Visions are going to come, and there are going to be visitations from God as you begin to give yourself to the word of the Lord. Are you hearing me right now? Sometimes you have to have the ability, especially for prophetic people. You can be in a moment, and God will begin to start showing you what's coming. He'll start speaking to you about what's coming. Or you can be in the middle of something in it. It feels like all hell is breaking loose. And the Lord gives you a word to steal you in the middle of that hell. Are you hearing me? Huh? And other people, they're in fear and they're in terror. And you have peace because you've heard the word of the Lord. Have you ever been in a battle? Ever been in a battle and sometimes you get in a battle, man, oh man, it feels like it can be so hard. And God pulls you through and he allows you to see some things that you haven't seen before. And you begin to know his faithfulness. And all right, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Come on, come on, come on. If you've been in a battle, I want to tell you some good news. Come on, the shift is coming. The change is coming. Oh! Oh! We serve a God who is like no other God. Oh! You know, one of the things I have found out when he takes you in his arms, he's preparing you to send you back out again. Oh, he doesn't want us just to get just lost in his arms and never do anything. Are you here? The thought is when he takes you in his arms, all of a sudden, his nature begins to get imparted in you. His identity. He begins to break the chains of rejection. He begins to break the chains of confusion. And so in chapter 40 and verse 1, God's people have been going through some stuff. And all of a sudden God is shifting some things. And he begins to speak even to his people. And he was really talking to his prophets as well. And he's changing their message. Isaiah has been prophesying about repenting and how rebellious you have been. And all of a sudden, God drops another word in him and he says, and comfort. Yes, comfort my people. Says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Because God's coming. Are you hearing me? Oh! And he begins to talk to his people. And he's telling his people, come on, make this path straight because God's coming. Come on, tell somebody God's coming. God's coming, oh, God's coming. The reason God begins to tell you to comfort his people, I want you to pull up Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I'm going to be bouncing a little bit around Isaiah. Isaiah 57, picking up in verse 15. He says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. He's beginning to give us understanding, insight, why he's talking about comfort my people. And he is not saying that my people are doing everything that I want them to do. But he says if they stay in this season of warfare, this season of judgment, all of a sudden it'll begin to wear them out. It'll begin to do something to their soul. Are you hearing me? Oh, I'm going to try to. And so God says, even though they're in the middle of change, I'm coming to them right now. And I'm going to speak sweet things to them right now. And so right now he begins to talk to his people because he says, I want you to align your voice. I want you to align your words with where my heart is at right now. And so last week I said, for our prophets, he's given you instructions about what you're supposed to be prophesying in this hour. But this is not a season where you're going to be prophesying judgment. But he says you're going to have a word inside of you that you're going to cause my people to be comforted. Because my people have been through some stuff. Has anybody been through some stuff? He says, I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to wear you out. And so he begins to give us words of comfort. I want to go back to Isaiah 40 again. tell you some things that are supposed to be important to us in this season. We have to learn how. We have to learn how to bishop our souls, that where God is at and what God is speaking on, we'll learn how to come into agreement on it. You have to learn how to do that with your soul and with your spirit so that you'll hear Him. You know, it's an interesting word for me when God begins to say, comfort my people. Warfare has ended. And I told you last week, when He says your warfare is ended, part of what He's saying is your warfare with this enemy is coming to an end. But there will be some other battles that you're going to have to fight. And so, some of the preceding chapters, when you start looking in 36 and 37 and 38, these are kind of like this transition. And he begins to speak, he begins to focus on King Hezekiah. And the Assyrians are coming against the nation. They're coming against God's people. And the Assyrians, they send their generals and they begin to speak with God's people. And they're telling them, you need to surrender. You need to come on board with us. If not, we're going to destroy you. And they begin to speak their threats. And a lot of times the adversary will bring a threat that there is truth in the threat. And so when the king of Assyria, he says, you better listen to me. And he begins to name other nations that they have overthrown. And he begins to say, where is there any evidence that they were ever once a nation after we got done with them? He said, you better pack your bags and you better come on board with us. Here's the other thing that he begins to say. And he says, and do you think you're going to turn to your God? Will you turn to your God? And he says, your God will not hear you because your God has sent us. Your God has sent us to harass you because of your disobedience. Sometimes God lifts His hand. God just lifts His hand, and all of a sudden your adversaries, they come against you. But even though He has lifted His hand, He has not given us over to our adversaries. Turn to somebody and say, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. But Hezekiah, he begins to call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord hears him. And one of the reasons the Lord hears him is he says, Assyria has gone too doggone far. They have forgotten who they are and who I am. It's like a father. It's like a father saying to somebody, well, you can spank my child because he's been disobedient. You can spank my child. But all of a sudden, you start losing your mind. Huh? You start pulling out belts. And God says, this is still my child. And so the Lord turns on Assyria because Hezekiah has called on the name of the Lord. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. And the Bible says 185,000 Assyrians, they die. When God wants to deal with your enemy, God knows how to deal. See, I know your enemies have been vexing you. Your enemies, they've been doing some things with you. Your enemies have been messing with your money. Your enemies, they have been messing with your health. Your enemies have been messing with your children. Are you hearing me? Your enemies, they have been bombarding you. And God says, I'm rising up against your enemies. I'm rising up against your enemies. And so he destroys them. Everybody say, because Hezekiah prayed. The next chapter you see is where the Lord sends Isaiah to see Hezekiah. And he speaks to Hezekiah and he says, the Lord says, get your house in order, for you shall surely die. And Hezekiah knows this is a word from the Lord because it has come to Isaiah. And the Bible says, Hezekiah, he turns his face to the wall. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. He turns his face to the wall. And he begins to talk to the Lord. There's a passage in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 41, where the Lord says, come, let us reason together. Where God says, present your case to me. Oh, I'm telling you, you got to get something in your spirit right. Oh. Hezekiah, he presents his case to him. And before Isaiah could get away from the driveway, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to Isaiah. He says, go back to Hezekiah and tell him I have added 15 years to his life. Saying something about his nature. And God is saying something about our relationship with him. That we can plead our case. And so he adds 15 years to Hezekiah's life. And the next chapter, everybody say the next chapter. Babylonians, they come to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah opens up all the treasures and he shows them to the Babylonians. Shows them his armory and everything. And Isaiah comes again to him. He says, now why did you do this? He says, this is going to be your enemy. And he will come in and he will steal and he will take everything that you have, as well as your sons and your daughters. And your sons shall become eunuchs. They will not have the ability to reproduce. And Hezekiah, he doesn't turn to the Lord this time. Hezekiah doesn't call on the name of the Lord and say, no, this is too bad. Do something different. And Hezekiah says, as long as there shall be peace in my lifetime. And he says, the word of the Lord is good. And part of my thinking is, I think Hezekiah was tired. Hezekiah was tired. I know he's at the place of tired. He has been battling armies. And after coming out of that warfare, all of a sudden his body gets sick. And he is tired. There are things you will give up when you are tired. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been like, I'm just tired, just let it. I got to deal with that later on. Oh, see. Hezekiah was tired. He says, I just want peace in my lifetime. How many of you all, you just want some peace? That's the way Isaiah 39 ends. And you see this being fulfilled where the Babylonians come in, take Daniel and his brother and his friends. And then all of a sudden it feels like God just makes a shift in Isaiah 40 and he says, comfort. Comfort my people. Warfare, captivity, it does something to you. It does something to you. The nation of Israel, when they have been in bondage under Pharaoh as in Egypt, and when God sets them free, something has happened to them. Captivity, bondage, fatigue, it does something to you. And especially if you were born in captivity. There are people under the sound of my voice, even though you were born free, you were born in a place of bondage. Born in a place of captivity. You have never had enough. You were born in the families that never had enough. Oh. You were born in captivity. You were born in bondage, even though you were free. But you were born in the families you never had enough. Well, maybe you had enough money. But there were generational curses. And so you've been battling demons and powers and spirits your whole life. Oh. You were born in a place of captivity that every time you came against the walls, you came against the bars, some other demon rose up. Another spirit rose up and it wanted to keep you in a new place of captivity. Oh, y'all don't. You've never had enough. And all of a sudden, God comes. And to the best of your ability, you've been trying to serve the Lord. In the place of captivity. And the major thing that the adversary goes after when you're in the place of captivity is the identity of who God is. He begins to affect you and how you see God. Because you measure God against your bar. You measure God against your chains. You measure God against when you call on Him and He didn't set you free.
and it begins to change your eye, your view of God. Are you hearing me? And you don't turn your back on God, but all of a sudden, God shrinks in your eye. God has looked at his people and he says, comfort them. Comfort them. But I want to tell you the nature of God. The nature of God. He doesn't just sit with us and wrap his arms around us and he'll just rock us and he's going to just leave us. Are you hearing me? Comes to us and he begins to comfort us. He's drawing us close and where he begins to remind us who he is. And Isaiah 40, this is a transition chapter. All of a sudden, God, everybody say God. God begins to remind his people who he is. And he begins to tell them who he is. And he begins to ask them all kinds of questions that no one can answer. And he says, he begins to compare himself against other gods. Because whenever we move away from God, we always move to another god. And we're not even aware that we move to another god. See, because one of the reasons they're telling them the Babylonians are coming, because the Babylonians, they have a strategy that is different than any other enemy, any other nations. And their strategy was confusion by mixture. That was their strategy. They didn't cause you to completely forget the God that you used to serve. They just begin to give you a mixture. My wife doesn't like generics. She doesn't like generics. There have been some times I've pulled something off the shelf and I say, Kathy, this doesn't cost as much. Kathy, look at all the ingredients, and these are the same ingredients for what you buy. And she says, no, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. You know what she's saying? Because there is some mixture in that thing. Oh, y'all, honey. And the reason people like the generic, because the generic is cheaper. Now, I know some of you all are, I know you can challenge what I'm saying, because you say, I know how to fix it up, and I know how to put this in there, and it'll taste the same, and everything else like that. But the Babylonians, confusion by mixture. And that begins to say that Jeff will still serve the living God, but he'll let some other things come in. And so all of a sudden, when you begin to let those things come in, it begins to do something how you view God. And so when God begins to talk in Isaiah chapter 40, there is this movie with Coach Carter. I don't know if you ever seen Coach Carter. And there's a scene in it, and he's making fun of his players. And they're running one of his plays. And they run the play, you know, completely right. And Coach Carter says, that's me. That's me. I did that. I did that. That's what God is saying right now. God begins to talk to us and he says, look up in the sky. And God begins to say, I did that. I did that. You forgot. I did that. I did that. And he begins to tell them, you see the stars in the sky? He says, every night you look up and they're there. And God says, I did that. I did that. And then God begins to ask them some questions. He's setting them up. He's setting them up. He begins to ask them the question, if I needed advice, who would I talk to? If I needed counsel, who would I talk to? And he says, there's nobody, is there? There's nobody. But he's setting them up. Tell me he's setting us up. He's setting us up. And God is setting us up. So when he begins to speak to them, he says, about the stars in the sky. And the way the picture is, he says, I put the stars up there. And it's almost like an army. When I call them out, this is what the message says. I call them out by name. I haven't found where astronomers will say those stars have changed their position. God says, I call them out. You there, and you there, and you there. And he calls them by name. Do you think, oh Jacob, I have forgotten about you? Oh Jacob, have I forgotten your name? Oh, have I forgotten who you are? And you treat me like I have forgotten you. All right, I want to come to that's when he asks the question, have you not heard? Have you not seen? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. How he is identifying himself. And I'm telling you, these are phrases, these are ways we're supposed to identify him in this season. The everlasting God. The everlasting God. Where is God's beginning? Where is God's end? So from beginning to end, God is right in the middle of it. So he is the everlasting God. But the other portion is, he is the creator. It could have been about a year or so ago, I started talking about the creator. And the Lord has brought us back to this issue of the creator.
creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah 43, he begins to speak and he says, remember not the former things. He says, behold, I do a new thing. I will make rivers in the desert. Okay, I'm coming to the close because I want us to birth this deal. He is saying to his people coming out of captivity, I am still creating. I am still creating. Think about when he begins to go further in Isaiah 40 and he says, he never faints. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He is reminding us what we read in Genesis, where I created, and on the seventh day, I rested. But he says, I didn't rest because I was tired. I chose to rest, but I'm not tired. I'm not tired. And do you think everything that I am creating, it finished in Genesis? I'm still creating new things today. I'm still creating new things today. And he says, I want you to embrace that part of my nature. Are you? When you do what I called you to do, if there is a wall, if there is a river you cannot cross, I am still the creator. I'll make a road. Oh, y'all are not. You all have forgotten. You have forgotten who he is. You have forgotten what he can do. What? That diagnosis? You think that's greater than who he is? Your money problems? Are they greater? Stand with me. Out of sequence, because I want to do something. When you start in Isaiah 40, then you read 41 and 42 and 43, God is talking about God. What he will do. declare what those verses are. Before you speak, before you create, we want you to begin to declare those verses. Because he wants you to create from a large place. He wants you to create from a great place. And so when you begin to declare what he has said, when you begin to declare, he will make rivers in the desert. Joshua in the middle of a battle, and the sun began to go down, and they needed sunlight to finish the battle. Somehow or another, Joshua tapped into the Creator. He tapped into the Creator. And he spoke to the sun and he said, stand still. Stand still. We're in the middle of doing God's business. And the sun stood still. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, the Creator showed up to Moses and he says, stretch out your rod. I am still creating. Do you know who he is? Do you know who you is? Help right now. I feel like my voice has been under attack for several years. I went through a season where all of that was done. I feel like that attack is back. And I'm really tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice? There has been something in your life. It has been under attack. For several years. Come on, I know my message is making a change, but he begins to get down. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Put that back on the screen. Isaiah 40, I think it's like 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. Something in you it hasn't been destroyed, but it's not functioning as God intended it to function. He gives power to the weak. Are you hearing me? And to those who have no might, He increases strength. When you look up that word might, those who have no might, many times that word is connected those who were not the firstborn. Those who were not the firstborn. You know, the firstborn, he got a greater portion of the inheritance. There was more giving to the firstborn. And those who came after the firstborn, they had to learn how to live with less than. And he said, those of you were born into something. You were born with less than. Huh? That word might, it means you don't have wealth. You don't have physical ability. You don't have spiritual power. He says he increases your strength. What are you lacking right now? What are you lacking? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew the strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If there has been something in you that has been under attack, and you have learned how to live with it, you have learned how to live with it. But you know this is not the will of God. I know what comes against my voice, it is not the will of God. The way I've had to adjust this message, are you all hearing me? I am fighting through this deal right now. I just got to get one more thing out. So when he talks about Isaiah 43, he is saying, if you're going to walk in this place of creativity, you can't remember the former things. You can't remember the former things. There's a new place of creativity. I want you to lift your hands right now. I want you to lift your hands right now. And you're going to begin to get an impartation, a prophetic impartation. The prophetic, it carries creativity. The prophetic carries creativity because you will begin to see. Your hands lifted higher right now. Come on, there's going to be a new mantle that's going to begin to rest on you right now. You're going to begin to prophesy creative things. You will not just rehearse that phrase, "I'm doing a new thing." But you will declare, "This is the new thing. This is the new thing." It'll begin to come out of you because you'll begin to see it. You'll begin to see it. A new mantle begins to fall upon you. It begins to rest upon you. You will prophesy creative things, the new thing right now. You'll see it and you will declare it. You will bring new comfort, new courage. Oh, oh, oh. Let the heavens open. The creative mantle come right now. That our eyes are open. Come on, right now. Come on, just begin to lift your voice right now. Come on. You will have a word for those who are weary. You will have that word in the season. You will have the demonstration because God is doing a new thing. Oh, oh. Let the prophets prophesy. Let the prophets prophesy. Let the atmosphere be filled with the voice of the prophets. The words of comfort. Oh! 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 That we will prophesy great things. Mighty things. Oh God. Oh God. Who makes a way. Oh, come on. Come on, the Lord begins to speak. And he says, "Shout." And the man said, "What shall I shout? Shout! Come on! We're in a creative atmosphere. The Creator is in our midst. What you are lacking, if you don't have it, I will make it." I'm renewing your strength. I'm renewing your strength.
begins to say, Zion, get up on a mountain and lift your voice. Zion, get up on the mountain. Speak good news. Don't you be timid. Oh, oh,
come on, I want to do one more thing. Something when I was describing that thing against my voice, there has been something some of you have been dealing with for a long time. Feels like it comes against your assignment. Come on, if that's you, I want you to join me up here. I want you to begin to speak and begin to declare. About who God is. I'm talking about the great God. Our great God. Come on, this is getting ready to do something to you right now. I know that a lot of times we want somebody to lay hands on us. Come on. Come on, begin to declare who He is, what He has done. Come on. Come on, and He'll do it for you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, you begin to declare. Come on. He's the one who caused the walls of Jericho to fall. He is the one
called out Gideon's name and he turned him into a mighty man of valor. He's the one who broke Pharaoh's back. Oh, come on. Come on. He's done it before. And he'll do it again. Come on. Your warfare has ended. I'm raising you up on a higher plane. Come on. Drive it out, oh God. Change it, oh God. Renew our strength. Give us new power, oh God. Come on, the Creator is moving among us right now. Come on, the Creator is moving among us right now. If you need a creative miracle, what we would call a creative miracle, but it's not hard for our God. Come on, begin to put your hand on that spot. Creator. The Creator. He is moving among us right now. Healing the effects of diabetes. He's healing the effects of MS. Come on. He's healing the effects, those things that have attacked your digestive system. Come on. He's healing them. He's restoring them. Come on, the Creator. The Creator. He's causing you to see. See in the natural. See in the spirit. Come on, the Creator is among us. Come on. He's releasing fresh vision. Come on. Innovation. Innovation. Oh. He's releasing new sounds. New expressions. Come on. Come on, pull on it, pull on it, pull on it. Oh, oh. We're releasing the old. We're releasing the old. And we're embracing the new. Given us power to get wealth. Oh! Given us power to get wealth. Come on, Zion, lift up your voice. Zion, lift up your voice. Don't be timid. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed.